Wake up, everybody. Welcome into The Rebellion. Welcome to Redacted. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores, or we try to sift through all of the propaganda that's being spewed at us, whether it's on social media or the mainstream media, because we have another shooting, this time in Dallas, Texas, at an ICE facility. Happened early this morning. Three people dead, including the shooter. Happened as the sun was rising up over the sky. And we've got a lot of new details about this today. We're going to dive into this. Of course, the left is drawing lines, saying clearly, because these migrants were killed, that he was a lunatic white supremacist that wanted migrants killed. Others who were there as eyewitnesses saying, no, he was peppering the entire building with bullets, and two detainees were killed as a result. So we're going to unpack all of this and the threats to ICE agents today.
We're also going to give you an update on the ostrich farm in Canada, because the Canadian government is literally building execution facilities to kill these ostriches. But we have a Hail Mary report to say about saving them that you're going to want to hear. Also, President Trump, he loves Zelensky again. He thinks he's an awesome dude and that Ukraine can win the war. He's talking total nonsense. What's this about? Is this a trick of the cards, trick of the hands? What's the expression? Sleight of hand.
Sleight of hand. Also, we're going to talk about these Secret Service servers that they discovered right before President Trump was about to meet at the UN General Assembly. Who in the world could have pulled this off? A massive amount of servers along with SIM cards. Only a nation state could have pulled this off, according to the Secret Service. So which nation was it? Why would they want to do this? Why would they want to disrupt the entire telecommunications network near the United Nations? We have a former FBI whistleblower who knows a little too much about this on the cybersecurity side. We're going to talk with him on the show today. But first, another day, another brutal Antifa attack in America. This time, an alleged communist sympathizer named Joshua Jean was 29 years old. His father, by the way, reportedly worked for NATO, and that's allegedly where he got the gun as well. He opened fire on ICE agents and illegal immigrants who were there, and pretty much anyone in the parking lot. According to eyewitnesses, anyone was near the ICE facility, killing two illegal aliens we know of specifically. One eyewitness said they were there waiting for an appointment. They were sitting in the parking lot, and suddenly the shooter was peppering the entire area. Cars, vans, windows were exploding all over the place. And she heard at least 20 shots. 20 shots. He used a sniper rifle, allegedly, from a rooftop location. He was clearly, at one point, he was trying to hit a van full of ICE agents, but it was an unmarked van. I think anyone with a brain realizes what his attempt was to hit this van, this unmarked van. We've seen all sorts of reports about ICE agents getting into these unmarked vans to go out in early morning hours to carry out raids. So he's there at an early morning hour, and he's shooting at an ICE van. Did he think he was going to hit a whole van full of ICE agents and inadvertently ended up killing two illegal migrants that were in the back of that van? Who knows? Because he shot himself. So we don't know. But here was the police response. Watch.
Today at approximately 6:40 a.m., we received an assist the officer call. We responded to the call, got to the scene, and we later learned that we had four individuals that were shot, two of them deceased, including the shooter. The DPD was quickly able to locate the shooter, who was deceased. We're going to be working this investigation shoulder to shoulder with our federal partners. The FBI is on scene, and right now I'm going to introduce you to the SAC of the Dallas Field Division, FBI Joe Rumrock.
Yeah, good morning. My name's Joe Rothrock. I'm the special agent in charge of the Dallas FBI Field Office. I want to first start by thanking our partners in local law enforcement, specifically the Dallas Police Department, for their quick and timely response. I can confirm at this time that the FBI is investigating this incident as an act of targeted violence. It is unfortunately just the most recent example we've seen of targeted violence, to include here in North Texas, where back on July 4th, we saw a coordinated attack carried out against an immigration detention center in Alvarado, Texas.
So that goes on from there. FBI Director Kash Patel, once again, taking to social media, has to get his message out there, and reports that they found bullets on the rooftop that said anti-ICE. anti-ice. Apparently, everyone's like now drawing things on bullets. I guess this is like the new thing. But if that's the case, if this is true, if you believe Kash Patel, if you believe the FBI, like, I mean, one of the most corrupt organizations in the world. So now we're like believing the FBI, just like we believe the official narrative of Tyler Robinson as the lone gunman in the Charlie Kirk assassination. So everyone's just writing on bullets now. Okay. People saying it was some sort of a false flag operation, that he was actually trying to kill illegal aliens and he's some sort of a white supremacist. He's a right-wing nut job. He's a neo-Nazi. CNN doesn't have any idea what the motive is. Watch.
Those ICE agents not shot or hurt. We do not know, however, the motive of the shooter. That still remains an open question and will be under investigation, and we'll be continuing to ask our...
So CNN has no idea why you would get up early, get a rifle, and go to an ICE facility. Okay. All right. You know, I guess I come back to like Occam's razor on this, but who the hell knows? I find this part of the story interesting because immediately Big Tech started like scraping or wiping his social media platforms and started like deleting stuff on the posts, like historical posts, Facebook. Here's his Facebook page, and you can see his little avatar there is sort of a long term old school meme, which has, you know, sort of a communist sickle and hammer. And this is an old meme which says, "Glorious exposition, comrade." This goes back many, many years to 4chan. I mean, this is like an old school meme. So did he love communism? Who knows? There was also Antifa messages on his social media posts that are old. They were there for a long time. All of this to say, it's being spun any which way. We asked you earlier, was this some sort of a false flag operation? I know someone who thinks that we are heading into a war. Blood on the streets. That's J.J. Carroll, former Customs and Border Patrol agent, 24 years as a supervisor. And he's been warning us all about this. He's the author of the great book Treason, which I encourage you to read, the systemic destruction of the United States under the Biden administration. So, J.J., just good to have you back on the show here, of course, as always. Just at a 30,000 foot level, you see the lines being drawn on both sides right now. What do you make of this event today?
I think this is just the beginning. Just the beginning. You and I have had this discussion multiple times on the air and off, that the blood will be spilled on the streets of America. They will be of illegal aliens that are in custody, and that fight with the agents is going to be the agents and officers are going to, blood's going to be spilled. And then just random bystanders, like this guy's just randomly shooting his long arm all over the place. And I lay this all at the feet at two groups of people. First, the Democrats. You have last night Gavin Newsom from California saying that these are authoritarian thugs led by authoritarian leader Trump, and the thugs are ICE agents. They also say John Larson from Connecticut's calling us Gestapo and SS Nazis. You have the minority leader Hakeem Jeffries talking about how bad we are, that we need to be unmasked. We're going to dox everybody. We're going to let everybody know who they are. And the other side is, quote, our side, the Republican side. We are so impotent. We are so reactionary. We are never get ahead of the problem and say, okay, I identify the problem. Now let's go attack it. Let's arrest it. Let's put it in jail. No, we just sit back and we just act as if it's all going to play out. Everything's going to be okay. We watch Charlie Kirk's neck explode and die. We don't even know who the real shooter is. We don't know what's happened. Now we have ICE officers being shot. And you and Natalie could have played 24 hours of clip after clip after clip of ICE officers literally fighting for their lives every single day. This is unacceptable. How did we get here in America?
Well, okay, let's talk about Gavin Newsom, because he just signed into effect this no secret police law, which prohibits federal and local law enforcements from wearing facial coverings. And now the federal government is going to contest that and say, we actually don't have to do what you say. So what is the rationale that ICE agents do have to do that? Let's just talk tactically about what ICE is and is not, because here's the thing. I'm weary of this repetitive cycle where it is something terrible happens. We all go to the internet and try to extrapolate something that is that is part of our conviction bias. He's a leftist. He's a rightist. We think this. We don't know this. Kash Patel makes it worse on his Twitter feed. We effing don't know We are tired of this. So what is the message we need to know about ICE and why they might be a target? And then we can look at why migrants might be a target.
Well, ICE officers are the target because I collectively put myself in there as a retired Border Patrol agent. We're doing what the left does not want. The left wants demographic complete change and upheaval in America. That's how you fundamentally transform a nation. We are doing what they say is evil work, the work of Satan. Now, I think this is a great conversation to have, Natalie, about should ICE officers wear masks? I'm cut from the old cloth of law enforcement, and I'm being offered a job to go back and work as an ICE special agent. I'm just waiting for my entry on duty date. One thing that I will promise you, I will never wear a mask. Never. Now, I'm not bagging on the agents and officers that are wearing masks because they're afraid for their family and their lives. However, I'm not going to wear a mask because officer presence is paramount in law enforcement. I want them to see the reaction on my face that I have no fear, that I'm going to come to you. And now as I move forward to engage with you, I want you to clearly see on my face that I'm going to do everything I can. And I mean everything I can to get you in custody. And that means if you bring a knife, I'm bringing my gun. If I have to pull the trigger, I'm going to pull the trigger. People need to see the physical reaction in my face in order to understand what my motives and actions are. So as much as I can't stand Gavin Newsom, I want my agents and officers, I want people to see our faces. Now, because we live in such a vile nation of no law and order, and we have mental patients, I understand why ICE officers, Border Patrol agents, etc., have their faces covered. Gavin Newsom's an idiot because he wants to form some law in California. I, being a federal agent, are under the jurisdiction of the federal government. I don't have to follow your state laws. I'm a federal agent. I can do whatever I want to do under the statutes of the United States of America federal government. But I would never wear a mask. And if I get back into duty, which could be any day now, I will not wear a mask. Everyone's going to know who the hell I am and why I'm there. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that. Well, I didn't know this, that you're about to join ICE again. That's amazing. Hope you'll be able to still do the show. I don't know what sort of restrictions you'll have to be able to speak with us here, JJ. I hope you will. I think, you know, this all comes about 24 hours after The Atlantic published a piece which kind of blew our socks off. The Atlantic, which is like a liberal bastion, is admitting that left-wing terrorism is on the rise. And they say for the first time in more than 30 years, attacks by the far left outnumbered those by the far right in the wake of the Charlie Kirk shooting. And then, of course, you have this incident today with this guy with Antifa messages trying to shoot up an ICE facility. So
allegedly.
He was shooting.
Allegedly.
There's nothing. Yeah.
Well, there's no motive. We don't know the motive, right? I mean, when you were playing that for CNN, you know what popped up in my mind? I can't believe it was so random. It was the movie The Jerk, where Steve Martin is running around the gas station and the bullets are hitting the oil cans, and he's screaming, "The shooter hates oil and oil cans." That's how absurd the CNN is. We don't know the motive. Are you kidding me? He didn't go to Starbucks and shoot up a bunch of baristas. He went to an ICE facility to shoot and kill ICE officers. I sometimes swear to you, I feel like I live in some of the dumbest times in modern history. And the propaganda
is so
unbelievable.
That's the thing, is that you look at Kash Patel's like, here are the bullets. We know the motive. It was far left, right? And that doesn't help because his credibility is low right now with independent thinkers. And so it feels like, wait, what would be the purpose here of this being another of a false flag? What would be the purpose here, right? Does it expand government power? That's possible. And it almost, in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination, I believe nothing anymore. So even the most, you can see that I'm just mad because I can't stand the posturing anymore, and I don't trust anything any longer.
JJ, it's like finding passports after 9/11 that are not burned in the rubble, and we're being told to buy a certain story. So when I see these Kash Patel tweets with messages written on bullets, you know, it's infuriating. Are we being led down a path where there's some bigger thing at play here that we're just not seeing?
I think there could be. And I think this is the greatest sin of the left and their greatest accomplishment. And I want to throw the left in, I mean the rhinos too, is they've created an environment in America where we trust no one or anything. Look, that shooter that killed Charlie Kirk, it could be that kid. It could be so clean cut. I don't believe it, but let's say it is. We're still never going to believe it because we don't trust the people that are in our government. Look, Cash Patel testified that Jeffrey Epstein had, you know, hundreds of girls, underage girls, trafficked to him. No one else. Case closed. Yeah. Let's move on. Right. So, I mean, and the passports are laying there. It's just like the Rolls Royce engines on the plane that hit the Pentagon disintegrated from the heat. However, the bones and jaw lines and teeth of the passengers remained intact. So we're able to identify who was. It's so absurd. And this is the absurdity of the world we live in, is that nothing makes sense. Nothing adds up, right? You look at the shooting of Charlie Kirk. This was, as someone that was in law enforcement, that would be a training video 101 of what never to do. To never allow your crime scene to be destroyed. They were dismantling the tent that was covering Charlie Kirk's murder.
Yeah.
They were disassembling it. Like, not like an hour or two later after he took the videos and everything. No. Right then, like after he got shot, there's a guy taking the SIM cards out. There's guys handing stuff to each other behind the scenes. And we're all told to believe that this kid killed him, and that a 30-06 bullet got stuck in his neck because he's superhuman. Dear God, America, please wake up. Please.
Well, that's why I brought these screenshots of this Atlantic piece, because I feel like it's relevant to us to consider that we may be being led into a class war, because we can easily be here and be like, here we go, it's the far left again. Media won't admit it. Same story, right? But then we have people we don't trust playing into that narrative. And I'm like, well, then I don't trust that. It's a double negative right now. So look at the way the Atlantic covered this, that, oh, you know, we better admit that left-wing terrorism is on the rise. Take a look at this. It says, we found left-wing terrorism has increased, and it's the first time that that has happened as opposed to the far right. So it's left-wing versus far right. So they're denying that there's even such a thing as the far left. And then take a look at this. They say it's not because leftists are more violent. It's because the right feels like they're getting what they want right now. So they don't have the need for violence, which, okay, is condescending. But then take a look at this next one. I cannot right now. It talks about how when a right-leaning perp strikes, they hit big groups, like a supermarket or whatever. When a leftist strike, they only go after one person, like Brian Thompson, the CEO of United Healthcare, or President Trump, or now Charlie Kirk. Isn't that nice of them that the leftists only choose one person instead of, like, they're just going after a targeted hit, a precision strike, but the right, you know? And that's not true. Antifa targets big groups. We saw the shooting in the Catholic Church of many children. So that is utterly stupid. And again, plays into what I may see as stoking a class war. What do you think of that?
I believe in propaganda. I believe it is an absolutely effective tool. And I think that we have been propagandized my whole adult life. I look back, I don't trust or believe anything. And you're right. This is becoming a class warfare. And they have to keep us against each other and looking over our shoulders, because they're robbing us blind. You talk about a surveillance state. You talk about maybe a new Patriot Act type of thing happening. I'm going to tell you guys, and we've had this discussion before, we are in a when and how bad situation, not an if, and that is the terrorist attack that's going to happen on America's soil. So when you want to talk about a false flag, or you want to talk about something that we can't determine what it truly is, that is going to happen. We have hundreds of thousands of special interest aliens in our country. Everyone that I talk to that's in this space, in this terrorism intelligence space, is saying, this is when and how bad. It's coming. It's coming. And I, you know what? For a long time, I pushed off and said, I don't know. Now I'm absolutely convinced this is going to happen. I just do. And you're talking about false flags, and you're talking about surveillance state. What a better way to go in and rip more of our freedoms right from under us when that happens.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You let our borders wide open. You have terrorist cells in the United States. Activate them, and then throw us all into chaos, and then we give up our civil liberties, just like the Patriot Act, just like after 9/11, and we are all sitting ducks. I think you're absolutely right about that, and you're not the only one to tell our show that, and I just, speaking privately with individuals, all seem to be saying the same thing. So keep your head on a swivel, my friends. J.J. Carroll is author of the book Treason. I highly encourage you to read it. Just learned today that he's also going to be joining ICE soon. Can't wait to hear about that.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm ready to go. I just feel like I'm being called back into the fight, the physical fight, and I'm excited. I'm hoping that it does materialize, and somebody that watches me doesn't say, we don't want him in there. So we'll see. I'll keep you posted for sure.
All right. Well, God bless you, man. Thank you so much, JJ. Great to see you.
Good to see you guys. Have a good day.
All right. Coming up, we have an update on the ostrich farm raid and how the Canadian government wants to kill 400 ostriches for no reason at all. There's been some really great hope breaking in the last just few hours. You're going to want to see this. Before we do that, we want to tell you about our friends over at Masa Chips, because if you are a chip eater like Clayton and I, you're going to want to know about Masa Chips, because you know that most chips are made with seed oil, but Masa Chips are not. They decided they want to eat chips. I always want to eat chips. And they want to do something to make a tasty and delicious tortilla chips with just 3 ingredients. No seed oils, organic corn, sea salt, and 100% grass-fed beef tallow. These chips avoid all the bad stuff, and they really taste incredible. They're hearty. They don't break in your dip like a lot of chips. And in fact, I fed them to a group of teenage boys on my son's birthday, and no one said, wait a minute, are these health chips? No one knew any different, and they mowed through them like a lawnmower. They are really delicious, and they come in several different flavors. One of my favorite is the blue corn, and they have, you should check it out for yourself, all the different flavors, seasonings, and things like that. But they're not flavors like a Dorito flavoring, which is made in a science lab. If you've ever read the book, The Dorito Effect, you will be horrified at what the Dorito and its cousins have done to our taste buds. So fight back with more natural food like Masa Chips. Right now, if you go to masachips.com/redacted news and use the code redacted news, you'll get 25% off your first order. Again, that's masachips.com/redacted news and use the code redacted news for 25% off. You're going to be glad to have these in your pantry. We always are.
All right. Well, in late 2024, the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, the CFIA, which is a criminal organization, by the way, of Canada, ordered the killing of 400 ostriches at the Universal Ostrich Farm near Edgewood, British Columbia, after detecting what they said was H5N1 avian flu. These birds have become a viral cause, of course, in Canada, because there's no proof that they had the bird flu, and the government threatened to fine the owner if she tested for it. She's been on our show, of course. Her name is Katie Pasitny. She explained how these ostriches are her livelihood, her family pets. One of them's like 30 years old. It's very, very emotional. Well, she asked if she could send them to the United States to live. Robert F. Kennedy got involved in this. International governments got involved in this. But still, the Canadian government wouldn't relent. And the criminal organization, the terrorists at the CFIA, started targeting her, showing up at the farm, raiding the farm. And it's just been absolutely, it hit a crescendo this week. The government arrested the owner, Katie. They started building execution centers there, and they were about to start today.
Instead, they had 2 Hail Marys that have saved the birds from execution that happened just today. The first was the moment when protesters learned that the Supreme Court in Canada had issued a stay of the execution. Now, look how many people came there to support her and her animals, and watch the moment when she tells them that the Supreme Court has decided to stay this case. Yes, please. Now, what she's about to announce is an interim stay pending determination of whether or not the Supreme Court takes up the case. She gets this news on the phone. This is for the immediate but not distant future that the Supreme Court will or will not hear this case.
So, yeah, let's...
The other bit of news is that she sought protection from an Indian tribe. That also has stopped the government in her tracks. So she's here to tell us about it herself is Katie Pisitnev. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, sorry, it's a little grainy. It's pretty blurry, isn't it? I don't know what's happening right now.
That's okay. We can hear you.
We can hear you. Your shot is frozen, but we can hear your voice, though, Katie. Great to see you. So you're out the farm. Can you maybe give us an update? So there's been a lot of back and forth. Okay. There's a stay. There's not a stay. What's the latest on this?
Okay, so the latest is we got our interim stay order from Supreme Court of Canada, which was so relieving today. This has been very emotional for many people. We have international support and garnered so much attention over these animals, and they have become beacons of hope for so many. It's been 10 long, hard months. It's been very hard having this many cops here looking at our taxpayer dollars, paying for hundreds of police officers from around British Columbia to be here, task force units. We have drone flyers. We have had helicopters. We have, yesterday, obviously, it came down to the crunch, which was one of our worst moments. We ended up being baited into being arrested. And it was very disappointing for a lot of people, especially us, that they would lie. All we were asking for yesterday was the ability to feed the animals. We wanted to mainly feed the animals while we were allowing them to continue to prepare for what they wanted to do, which is kill, not getting in their way, but we were still seeking our judicial rights and to be able to explore all of our options, which would be now Supreme Court of Canada. So has it ever been a roller coaster? They told us that we could.
We can still hear you.
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Sorry, it flipped over. I apologize. They baited us. They said, yes, you can feed your animals. And I'm just going to try and move my computer. We are really in that farm situation, as you can tell.
Yeah.
And Wi-Fi is going in and out. I actually have some worse news even on that. I mean, they have been cutting our Starlink out there. They've been cutting all of our cameras. Canadian Food Inspection Agency has been videoed and watched, snipping all of our cameras that we had for live feeds just to show what they were doing out there.
Jeez.
So I know this is, feels like we're living in a movie, but they told us.
So they were cutting your cameras because they wanted to hide what they were about to do. They were also, we reported just a few minutes ago, that they were setting up execution centers where they were going to start to kill. I know the nice word is cull, but really euthanize and kill these ostriches. So they were setting up execution centers. They didn't want people to see the videos of this, right?
No, they did not. And what happened was, the execution centers that the center that you saw with the hay bales, that happened yesterday. That was very emotional. Semi-trailers came in full of these bales, which our taxpayer dollars bought, and to set up a wall so nobody could visually see what they were about to do. But back to that baiting situation of our arrest, they told us that we could humanely go feed our animals. We asked them, we said, just while they're going through so much stress, so many new people and machinery, can we please just go feed our animals humanely? Keep them calm. Give them their normal routine. Make them reassured that they're okay right now. And they said yes. So Canadian Food Inspection Agency gives us the yes. And so my mom and I went out to do chores and we're crying in the farm truck because thought this is one of our last times that we're going to see them. And we got to our back field where no one could witness it or picture or video it. And they swarmed our farm truck and told us that we were under arrest, which, again, didn't make sense because we were just told that we could feed. And they arrested us and put us in the back of the paddy wagon, I guess, and hauled us off to their staging area. Their staging area is just up a few kilometers up our road in a provincial gravel pit, sand pit area. They have command centers, they have semi-trucks, they have their supplies. And they gave us each a chair, a plastic folding chair to sit in the sand. And we sat there for about 2 hours. And they proceeded to let us know we were going to be being charged with the Health of Animals Act, Section 35, as well as impeding an officer to do his job. And that was
by feeding your own pets.
So you were arrested for feeding your own pets after they told you you could go and feed them.
And what is that Animals Act that you're abusing them in some way?
No, it's the Health of Animals Act saying that if we've had any misinformation for a federal officer, there's a paragraph on it. It's been a long 24 hours. We're going to really look into that because it just doesn't make sense. This has been more about punishment. We stood up to them and said, these animals have been healthy for 253 days. And we should be allowed the proper judicial system to work for us, not against us, explore all of our options before the eradication of all of these animals. And we have just been shut down every time. As you guys have brought up, we have had the amazing collaboration offer of Robert F. Kennedy, the Trump administration, the FDA and the NIH. And that has been turned down not once, but twice with the Canadian government, Canadian Food Inspection Agency. This is really reflecting that there's real consequences for farmers who stand up for their rights. And we are just saying, no, it stops here. We're ground zero for change. And there is a better way than stamping out. These organizations are operating with excessive freedom, no accountability, and they're steamrolling our
Katie, can I ask you?
Farming rate.
Your signal has gone in and out there. Just a second.
Punishment. Yeah. Sorry. Let's just see if I can. Oh boy.
Let's get there.
I have to apologize.
The only thing we see is your mouth at the moment, but
we can hear you well. Your chin.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
But I was going to ask you. One of our viewers just. One of our viewers just asked this question. Jayem says the terrorist organization, the criminal organization, the CFIA, cut the cameras after the stay was granted. There's now no way to monitor the birds or to make sure that the CGIA aren't neglecting or harming them. Was that the intention there, to cut these cameras after the stay was granted?
Absolutely. So when the stay was granted, they also brought in their own feed to feed our animals. We said, absolutely not. We do not want your feed on our farm. They have feed. And do not feed them your feed, because we don't know what they're going to do. We have 253-day healthy animals. And if they're allowed to try to prove to the world that they were right and they feed our animals some poison, there's no way of us proving that. The only thing we have proof of is their 253 days of resilience and powerful antibodies that could change the world on a global scale to treat viruses and disease in the future. You mentioned in this last set, I heard, dismantling of a crime scene. Well, this is it. Yeah. They are dismantling a crime scene. They're getting rid of anything that could incriminate them, and that would be our cameras. They are, they have not liked that we've to see worldwide what is going to happen here at the ostrich farm. These animals were moments away from being killed when we got this stay order.
Can you tell me about the protection from the Indian tribe that has also offered you some protection? Because it seems like a different tactic that may afford you the same protection.
It is. It has been really wonderful. There is a tribe here that we met with last night. It was a Hail Mary. And we have been hoping for this a long time because we thought maybe we would do something as unceded territory. So the signatory Indian tribe came forward to grant us a protection and tell them to remove their weapons, remove everything from the farm, that we are now under the protection of their tribe, which is very important for us. These animals are medicine. They hold medicine. RFK understands that. He's went on to probably say some of the best science that the Canadian government can't say. And the Canadian government could not acknowledge that we are not shedding the virus. We are not infinitely creating a new mutation. The latest thing that the Canadian Food Inspection Agency said is that we have one of the most virulent strains of avian influenza in Canada. That is not true. We have the RCMP officers all breaching quarantine. They have been up at the fence. They are driving in and out of our hot zones. They are driving back to towns and cities to stay in hotels. So again, if we were just such a virulent threat, there would be way more better. There'd be better protocol, better contamination policy and protocol. They had their hazmat suits when they arrested us. They wore their hazmat suits in the vehicle up to where we were being detained. The one gentleman took off his hazmat suit, passed off his camera stick to another officer to hold. And then they had, then they were allowing my mom and I to use their personal cell phones to make the call to our lawyer. And we just walked out of the hot zone and we were contaminated if we actually were. And so nothing makes sense. And on an international level, I think it's had a lot of people scratching their heads. The fact that we were being threatened 6 months in jail and a $200,000 fine to test our animals. There's been so many pieces of this that they can come in and kill every animal on anybody's farm based off suspicion.
Yeah. Well, Katie, I really appreciate it. I know we're out of time, but I just want to say, you know, I think this is the power of independent media. Friend of the show, David Creighton, who's been an incredibly loud voice, trying to get the message out to all of the independent media out there who were, trying to amplify this as loudly as possible. You know, I want to say this feels like a victory right now. But we'll be watching it very closely. And please, if there's anything that we can do here at Redacted, we will continue to amplify it as loudly as we can.
I appreciate it. And it'll be a much better camera next time. It's a really bad day for Wi-Fi today. And I'm assuming that it's a Canadian Food Inspection Agency. So.
Well, no, we have reports in our chat room saying that the police have been really shutting down the cell phone service in your area as well on purpose, so you can't get these messages out. I mean, they are literally a terrorist organization. I mean, that's exactly what they're doing, and they're criminals in Canada. So, Katie, God bless you. Thank you so much, and we will keep watching the story. And please message me anytime, and we'll get you right on the show if you need us.
Thanks. Thank you, Clayton. Thanks Natalie.
Bye-bye. All right. Yeah. Okay.
How stressful.
Very stressful. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're running low on time, so we want to get you straight to our next guest, and we will move the show along a little bit later. So let us know how you feel about that. This is one of those stories where our even-keeled editor, Philip, he's like, Jimmy Kimmel, I don't care about this. I don't care about this. But the ostriches, he's go into the mattresses. This is something that
pissed.
It speaks to the nature of being a human. Okay, so let's move on to Ukraine. President Trump has suddenly changed his tune on the war in Ukraine, and the new narrative makes no sense. Remember when he gave Zelensky a spanking in the White House and told him he needs to stand down and agree to peace terms? Well, now he met with Zelensky after his speech at the United Nations, and then the White House posted this: we're buds, we love him, he's a brave man, putting up a hell of a fight, he says. Who the heck is he talking about? Zelensky? The coward of Kiev who's enriched himself and led to millions of Ukrainians dead? He's brave? Okay. He went on to say this. Basically, Ukraine is great. Russia's economy is terrible. And Ukraine can win. Not only win the war, but win back all its territory. That's fantasy. Look at the map.
I'm living
right
in
now.
A bizarro world.
I know. This is the map of all the land that the Russians had taken since the war began. There's no way Ukraine can put that back, but okay. But maybe, just maybe, President Trump is playing games. Take a look again at who he says will help Ukraine win this war. Pointedly not the United States. He's saying Europe and NATO. Is this his way of patting them on the head and saying, you think you can win this war? Good luck with that. All my blessings. Go right ahead. Maybe Joining us to discuss is Floor Time Combat veteran Colonel Daniel Davis. He's the host of the Daniel Davis Deep Dive on YouTube. Thank you for joining us.
Colonel, great to see you.
What do you think? Is this a sleight of hand, or has Trump lost his marbles and forgot that Zelensky's a bad guy?
I've been trying to figure this out ever since yesterday when this first happened. It actually happened while I was on the air on a different show, and I had to break in to talk about this because I just couldn't believe what I was reading at first. But the more I've thought about it, the more I'm thinking this is just an elaborate Trumpian way to pass the buck. Because, yeah, he used those, like he does so many times does, to try to get the maximum PR value, the maximum media shock value, and he did, because he says Ukraine can win the war. They can go back to the 1991 borders, which, you know, goes back to a lot of the things that Zelensky said in the first about year and a half before reality really set in. And so now Trump says that. But then, as you correctly point out, you look at the substance of what he said, and he said that Europe can actually do a lot of this stuff, and that, we'll keep selling you some additional stuff. And it's kind of limited, about $1 billion a month, which sounds a lot to a normal person. But in terms of this, in comparison, the last thing that Biden did on the way out the door in 2024 was $61 billion, which by itself made made no difference in the outcome. So about one-tenth of that overspread out over a year is obviously going to have no impact either. And when you also look at the fact that Trump said, this is something that Russia's economy is falling apart, that I now understand this, you know, better than I did before. I couldn't help but remember candidate Trump in 2023 emphatically saying, I understand this war. I understand Zelensky and I understand Putin. This will be easy. That's literally verbatim what he said. This will be easy. It's not even hard. And I know all the factors, et cetera. Well, now that I'm asking for, so now that you've been in office for whatever it is, 8 or 9 months now, and instead of ending the war in a day like you promised, now that you're just saying, all right, forget about ending the war. I'm not even going to try to do that. Just here's $1 billion a month of stuff that you can purchase from me, and good luck to y'all. I mean, what happened to the peace president, the guy that's going to bring peace to all this and claiming that he deserves a Nobel Peace Prize and all this kind of stuff when he hasn't produced anything on the ones that are actually on his watch? So it's bizarre to the extreme, but I think that's the bottom line, is he's just looking for a way to get out and not blame him by saying, I did everything I could. It's up to them to try to figure it out from here.
I want to be respectful of your time, Colonel. I know you've got another interview coming up here. How much time do you have left with us so I don't suck up your time?
I could probably go another 7 or 8 minutes.
Okay, good.
We'll take it.
We'll take it. I'll take 6.5 of that. So we just got word Russian troops have advanced on a key Donbass town, according to the Ministry of Defense. This is on the Russian side. The village of Kirovsk has been liberated in a rapid strike, according to the Ministry of Defense. Now that's going to lead them to taking another town. These dominoes continue to fall. The Ukrainian military is collapsing. So what sort of help are they playing out here? Russia seems to suggest that if NATO gets involved, he's not suggesting, Putin has said this, if NATO gets involved, they will be considered part of the Ukrainian army and legitimate targets here. Is that where we're heading, or do you think we're going to screech the tires, full stop, we're going to get to a peace talk anytime soon?
No, we're not going to get to a peace talk anytime soon, but there is no way that European troops are going to be sent into harm's way. I mean, if they're not going to fight for Ukraine in now over 3.5 years this war's been going on, they certainly aren't going to start now when it's in the death throes and it's in the final, probably the end state in the game here. And, you know, you can see on the front line here, you talked about that one small village here. Well, Ukraine about 24 hours ago actually was making some pretty good progress north of Pokrovsk to actually potentially cut off one of the pinchers of one of Russian advances, and actually are putting it at real risk. That's because they moved people from a different part of the front and to bring more reinforcements onto that part north of Pokrovsk. Well, that came at a cost, because where they pull those troops from in the Liman area, then Russia accelerated its advance in that area. They've accelerated into Kupiansk, and now that they're deep into the city, in fact, even to the city center in some other places, and in the south in Zaporizhia, they're continuing to go on forward there. So Ukraine Ukraine just doesn't have enough men to cover the front. And even though they're making this progress in Pokrovsk, that may be great as far as it goes on the tactical of it. But like all these other tactical advances they make, they come temporary because Russia has more than enough men to restore that and then to end up taking it back from it. Meanwhile, everywhere you pull a reinforcement away from it to catch this one hole in the dike, then Russia takes advantage of that one as well. The bottom line is, and Sersky said that the commander-in-chief of the Ukrainian armed forces, that they have anywhere between a 3 and 6 time deficit in personnel and logistics all across the line of the front. And you can't replace that. And Russia continues to accelerate, and they get larger because they're recruiting, not force mobilizing, but recruiting more people per month than they're losing. So they have now formed a strategic reserve somewhere around 300,000 people on top of the about 700,000 people that are in Ukraine. Everywhere you want to count it, this thing is going south. So when you look at all of that in light of what Trump has said here, it becomes even more bizarre. Who cares if you want to go back to the 1991 borders? It matters what you can do and what you can't do. And there is no capacity for Ukraine to magically start going to the 1991 borders when they have failed over the last 3.5 years. So that's why I circle back around to saying I think that Trump is just using splashy language and putting this onus on Europe and on Zelensky, patting him on the back and saying good luck to you, but we're not going to fight for you.
Right. And so then Europe will have to fake their way out of it. Like, we gave it our best. Oh, what's that over there? I mean, that's the only way that Europe can do this. They can't actually mount a defense and get behind Zelensky, can they? Can you fake a war?
The only thing, because they don't have, if you look at, there was an analysis done on Sky News about 3 weeks ago about in the event that this coalition of the willing or this reassurance force, if they could come to a negotiated settlement, would be European troops to man this demilitarized zone they were talking about a 20-kilometer zone. Well, this analysis said you'd probably need about 300,000 troops to patrol that huge thing, over 1,000 kilometers. And he says France and UK alone might be able to come up with 20% if they used all of their deployable forces to go in. Well, they're not going to do that. And then that leaves 80% of the rest, and no one else is signing up to do that. That's for a so-called peacekeeping mission. There is no capacity to actually get into a conventional war with Russia. Russia is well aware of this. That's why Sergei Markov, who's apparently a confidant of Putin, said that they considered this a joke. They thought it was laughable, and they're not concerned about this at all because they know the reality on the ground, and they're continuing forward. It's the Ukraine side and the European side which seems to be in fiction land. And I just don't know where this can go because the factors on the ground will trump spin, and you can claim whatever you want. But as it's been for this whole war, the reality on the ground imposes itself and destroys the Ukrainian armed forces in these large numbers you just mentioned. And that's going to continue on until at some point the fabric of the Ukraine forces just can't sustain itself and you have a collapse of the front. I don't know when that'll come, but it's nearly inevitable.
Yeah, there's been nonstop propaganda from the beginning of this thing. We've been trying to break through it. We got banned for it. YouTube censored us for it. But, again, they try to spin these lies about how Ukraine is winning. They're crushing. Everything's going great. Adam Kinzinger even made a post the other day saying this is why Ukraine is winning. He did a whole video post about how Ukraine is winning. Like, I think the guy is literally on drugs. They're all delusional, and they're trying to sell you a fake war that's not going to happen. Colonel Daniel Davis, I know you got to run. I said 6 minutes, but I think I took 5 minutes of your time. Thank you so much, as always, for being here. We really appreciate it, Colonel.
And subscribe to the Daniel Davis Deep Dive on YouTube.
Yeah, it's a great show. Thank you, Colonel.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Always a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you.
Love having you. Thanks, Colonel. Great to see you. All right. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about these Secret Service servers that were discovered outside of the United Nations General Assembly. What in the world is going on there? Hundreds of thousands of SIM cards, a telecommunications server room aimed to disrupt communications all over New York City, listening devices. What the hell is going on? But the Secret Service busted it open, and they say only 3 nation states could have pulled this off. Can you guess which nation states could have pulled this off? We'll talk about that when we come back after a quick break. But first,
we want to tell you about our friends at Balance of Nature, because, you know, it's hard to make sure that you get all of your vitamins and minerals and all of that stuff. Well, if you are looking into Balance of Nature, you can make sure that you do, in fact, have a Balance of Nature in your diet. It's made with a variety of fruits and vegetables and all the essential vitamins and minerals. It'll help you to make sure that you get everything you need, even if you're not careful about specifically eating all of those things. You know how nutritionists will tell you to eat the rainbow. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want to eat the rainbow. I want to take the shortcut to eating the rainbow because I don't want to eat that stuff. So that's why I will take the shortcut and make sure that I take a supplement to make sure that I'm getting everything that nature offers. So check them out for yourself. Go to balanceofnature.com. You can become a preferred customer and get the lowest price with free shipping. This means that your order is delivered every 28 days. You can adjust your schedule for monthly delivery, or they're up or down if you're sharing with someone else. Free shipping is included, and you can pause or reschedule anytime, so you're in control. And when your products arrive automatically, it's easier to stick to your routine. You'll never forget to reorder, and you can become, again, a Balance of Nature preferred customer. So head on over to balanceofnature.com and sign up with the code REDACTED to make sure that you can supplement your diet with everything you need. Check them out. You can get all of those goodies in your diet in a one shot. It's not a shot. It's a vitamin pill. It's a supplement. You don't have to take a shot. Just want to make sure that you know that. You can get fruits. You can get vegetables. You can get all of it. So balanceofnature.com/redacted and use the code redacted.
All right. Well, what the hell is going on? The Secret Service admitted yesterday, just before President Trump's speech at the United Nations General Assembly, that they found a massive server room with hundreds of SIM cards at a nearby, I don't know, you call it a house, a condominium, somewhere in New York City, went on the location. The Secret Service dismantled a network of more than 300 SIM servers, 100,000 SIM cards in the New York area that were capable of crippling telecom systems, carrying out anonymous telephonic attacks, disrupting the threat before world leaders arrived for the UN General Assembly. What's the goal here? The New York Times posted this: my instinct is this is espionage. Really? Man, the geniuses that the New York Times got, said Mr. Ferrante, who previously served as a top cybersecurity position in the White House at the FBI. You think it wasn't? Come on. My four-year-old would know this is espionage. James A. Lewis, a cybersecurity researcher at the Center for European Policy Analysis in Washington, said, quote, only a handful of countries could pull off such an operation, including, I love how they always put Russia first, including Russia, China, and Israel. They sneak that one in at the backside of this.
Argentina could as well, but that's not top of our priority. There's lots of hackers in Argentina.
Even though Israel is on the record from the Secret Service having been caught red-handed before. Israel accused of planting spy devices near the White House. Surveillance devices planted over the past 2 years, according to the Secret Service, have been pulled. Planted mobile phones, spying devices near the White House and other sensitive locations around the U.S. Capitol. That's why John Kiriakou, friend of the show, former CIA agent, told us, he said, oh yeah, it's well known. Like, you never ever meet with Mossad agents or anybody inside of the CIA headquarters. You always meet in a location outside because they can't be trusted. They've always got the listening devices on them. Is it just part of, like, spy games? I don't know. Let's ask. Nate Kane is a cybersecurity expert, FBI whistleblower. During the 2016 election, Nate blew the whistle on the agency covering up for Hillary Clinton. Oh, they didn't like that. He was punished. He was raided. They raided his house. And they bankrupted him by the DOJ. Now, we've had Nate on the show before, and we're thrilled to have Nate back here. Nate, welcome back to the show. Great to see you.
Thank you for having me.
So what do you make of this? When you first read this report, like, did your spidey sense go off in any kind of direction?
You know, my first thought was actually not a spy operation. I actually thought, you know, this is where all those calls are coming that say they're from the United States, but they're really from some scam artist in some other country, because that is one of the ways that these things are used. But what makes this unique is, of course, its proximity to the UN. The fact that you had this raid in the first place indicates that there has been, or that there was, some SIGINT intelligence, you know, that was used in order to identify these people. They're being very quiet about, you know, who it is, about what they know, obviously. But there's enough information there, I think, that indicates that this is a foreign state actor that was utilizing this. Now, there are some issues with disruption that could happen, because when you have this number of SIM cards running in these SIM servers, they basically have the ability to be able to do what's called a denial of service attack. And so that is a threat. But I think a bigger threat is what they call SIM spoofing. And if that is what they are looking at in terms of being able to, you know, spy on people who are there at the General Assembly, which, by the way, one of the biggest things that I consider a threat to this country is the fact that the UN is within our borders. I think that is a big threat, because all of the people who come here are covered under diplomatic protection. And so they basically are walking around there in New York, and they're able to get away with all kinds of things. So if you notice, they did not announce that there were any arrests made. And I'm betting that it's probably because there is a nation state involved. And so they have to be very careful about how they handle that.
Wow.
Okay.
That's why there's no arrests made. Great yeah. point.
I mean, I saw this yesterday and thought, why is the Secret Service announcing this? Why wouldn't the FBI be in charge? So how do you think it could,
or the NSA or
yeah. That, that's how do you think?
That's a very good question. So that is a very pointed question, because the fact is that the Secret Service has a number of jobs, but one of the jobs that they are involved with, now they mentioned in a news article that there was, there were known criminal organizations that were involved. So it could be that there was money laundering that was involved with this somehow, because one of the things that the Secret Service is involved with is dealing with money laundering and dealing with those U.S. Treasury issues, because they actually fall under the, well, they did, but they still have a mission that is dedicated to that. So that is a possibility that there's more to this involving money laundering. So I am curious about that, why the Secret Service and not, you know, some other agency.
So what would be the goal here? Because I'm looking at, like, you know, in journalism, I'm asking the who, what, why, where, and how questions. Why? What's the goal here?
Well, he said SIM spoofing is a type of where you can, you get a mirror of somebody's phone.
So
right?
is that the whole goal? Or you're like 30 miles away too. I think this location was not like adjacent, right? From what I have understood. Sure. So is it able to pull that off from that far away?
It's hard to know. I mean, the reality is that this is the problem, is that this kind of a thing is there are legitimate uses for a SIM server. For example, you know, SIM servers are, you know, they're hardware systems that manage multiple SIM cards remotely. They often are used by businesses for cost-efficient communications. You know, they handle bulk SMS, VoIP calls, data services, bypassing those traditional rates that they would pay to, you know, any telecom company. So there are legitimate uses here, but the fact that they raided them, I think it has less to do with proximity, more to do with the likelihood that there is some sort of criminal enterprise that's going on, and that there may be, you know, transactions that are being done, you know, using these SIM cards in order to bypass any kind of surveillance. Obviously, wow. They got caught, so there are surveillance means of being able to find these things. I can't get into those, but I will say that it does appear that there was intelligence that was used. Now, you got to think about it, right? So when we use intelligence services within the borders of the United States, there's very, very strict rules on that. But because of its proximity to the UN General Assembly, that may have been how they got caught. So it may have nothing to do with that. It may just be simply a criminal enterprise used for scamming people out of millions of dollars and making it look like they're, you know, these phone calls are coming from, you know, a location here when they're really coming from overseas. Or it very well could be used, you know, as some sort of, you know, plot to cripple cellular communications, or, you know, or doing some sort of spoofing so that they can spy on, you know, calls for, you know, all these diplomats that are there. But here's another possibility. You know, it may be that they utilized the national security angle in order to be able to find these guys. And what it really is just nothing more than a bunch of scammers set up with a massive, you know, SIM farm.
Because they're near the UN, it can fall under the umbrella of
exactly
some sort of foreign agents or some sort of foreign surveillance program.
Yeah.
Which I know a number of FBI whistle. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it's hard to say, and you know, and I know that, like, when you look at, there are legitimate uses for this type of technology, but it's really, really hard to be able to know for sure. Now they've captured all of these, and they're probably going through them. So what will be interesting is to see if there are any indictments. If there are no indictments, then, you know, then that tells me something.
How long would it take for it? You've been around this world for a long time. How long would it take for an indictment?
Well, it depends, right? You know, if it's somebody they don't want to indict, they'll just run out the clock, and, you know, and we'll never see it. It'll get buried. I mean, that's what what they've done in the past. If it's something that they really want to act on quickly, I mean, it's all depends on, you know, the U.S. attorneys and what they'll do. I mean, it's all political. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, I guess one other thing is that they're talking about a nation state. Like, why can't we name names here? I mean, who has a history of doing this? We know China with solar panels,
Iran,
and
you know, I mean, there's a lot of countries that have the capability, and a lot of countries that, and it could be also, this is another thought too, is that I highly doubt that a nation state was here operating on our soil doing this. They're likely working with a criminal organization. You know, you may have had some group that was already running, you know, a SIM farm essentially for, you know, being able to do scammer calls and that kind of thing. And they may have picked up some signals intelligence of communications going on with a nation state and these guys in order to contract their services. See, this is the thing that a lot of people don't understand about the whole world of cybersecurity, which, you know, this, of course, falls into that as well. And that is that a lot of times there are criminal organizations that are actually building the malware, that are building the SIM farms and all of those types of things. So, and they utilize them as kind of like a buffer. So they have a, you know, somebody between, you know, between them and, you know, and their target. So I think that's probably the case here, but I mean, you've got countries like, the notion that, you know, what country could do this, it doesn't matter. Because these countries can utilize, you know, these criminal organizations to do their dirty work. We see this all the time with malicious code. Malicious code gets developed by, there's a lot of countries within the, you know, Eastern European bloc, in fact, that do a lot of what they call polymorphic code development. And they don't have any care whatsoever about the politics of any nation. They're just purely looking at it at the money. And but this is one of those things that could also, you know, like I said, you have to look at who has the interest, you know, in what exactly, you know, was their plan? Was there, you know, were they planning some sort of, you know, some sort of attack to disable, you know, the phone network, the telecom network? And I mean, that seems to be what they're indicating. So we don't know what that intelligence entails, but it'll be very interesting to see how this plays out. You know, a couple countries that come to mind is, of course, you know, China, Russia, you know, obviously, and I'm talking about far as like malicious type stuff. If it's just spying, then there's a whole different set of countries, right? But, you know, Venezuela is another big one. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on right now between Venezuela and the U.S., and so I wouldn't be surprised if they were involved as well. But you also have times, things that I've seen, at least in the past, where it appeared that there were nations working together. So I'm really curious about this one.
Yeah, for sure. And that was a great point about the indictment piece. Like, we'll be watching to see if we hear anything about this. So let us know. Keep us in the loop, Nate. If you learn it before we do, we'd love to have you back on and analyze this, because I would certainly be curious about that. Someone in our chat room, Penguin Shoes, says the ringleader was a Nigerian prince. But you have to wire them. That's exactly right. A Nigerian prince needs you to wire money to them immediately. Mm-hmm. Well, Nate, great to see you.
While we're on our show, I just got a text from, you know, Clara asking, "Is this phone still belong to Amy?" You know, the classic like start the scam thing. I wonder if Clara was in there too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I get all sorts of spam messages telling me that I've just run a red light and the DMV is coming after me and is going to suspend my driver's license.
That's the way. Yeah. And by the way, so when they do that, that is a perfect example. So a lot of people, when you're getting all this spam that's coming to you, right, you know, on your phone, spam SMS messages. That is being done through these types of operations. So that's why I'm saying the likelihood of this actually not being owned and operated by a nation state is probably very high. It's probably a criminal enterprise, but I'm guessing that, you know, our methods of you know, monitoring communications caught a nation state, you know, basically contracting these guys out to do some work for them.
Wow.
That's my best
guess. Just for the record, I don't even leave the house. So for me to run a red light is very...
I always respond to those with a middle finger emoji. Clayton's like, why don't you delete it? I'm like, because I want them to know.
I know, but I'm like, now you're letting them know that this is a live phone number.
That's right. That's exactly the truth. The moment you respond, now they know that you're actually, now you go in their database permanently.
Right. But then I delete it and block the number, but I can't help myself.
There we go. Now there's a middle finger icon in all of there. Nate, great to see you. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it today.
Absolutely.
Thanks again, Nate. Great to see you.
Take care.
All right. Hey, we're going to take some of your super chats here in a second. We're going to do that. And we want to tell you about our newsletter in a second. But first, you guys know, do you guys see that interview with Tucker and Sam Altman the other day?
Yes, blew my mind.
Man, that was painful. Sam Altman from ChatGPT recently announced that ChatGPT can now reference all of your past conversations. Do you feel comfortable knowing that an AI platform has access to all of your thoughts, your dreams, your sensitive questions, your business ideas? What are they doing with it? Well, yeah, they're going to get to know you over your lifetime. That's what Sam said. You know, ChatGPT has a former director of the NSA sitting on their board right now. Edward Snowden called this a willful, calculated betrayal of the rights of every person on Earth. So, all that to say, we want to show you Venice AI, Venice.ai, because it answers, if you're answering a question or generating an image that another AI platform wouldn't, I mean, they can do all of this for you. Where in fact, we've been using it here at Redacted because it'll be able to generate images for our newsletter in a way that ChatGPT cannot do it. So we've been using it as part of our daily newsletter at the Redacted newsletter. It's pretty great. And so if you want to use AI without fear of handing over your most intimate thoughts to a corporation or government, you can get 20% off a pro plan using our link. Go to venice.ai/redacted and use the code redacted. So basically, it's an open source AI model. Venice uses leading open source AI models to deliver text, code, and image generation to your web browser. There's no downloading. There's no installations of anything. Private permissions, it's permissionless, so they don't spy on you, censor the AI at all. If you ask it things, it'll just give you the answer. It's not going to censor it. Messages are encrypted, and your conversation history is stored only on your browser. They don't touch it. They don't have access to it. AI can be extremely valuable, but we shouldn't need to give up our own privacy in all of this. The Venice Pro Plan, their Pro Plan unlocks the full platform, and features include PDF uploads for summaries or insights. Let's say you've got a massive PDF that you need summarized. Like a friend of mine the other day sent me, he's like, hey, have you seen this? And it was like some sort of a lawsuit criminal complaint about someone in the news or whatever. And I didn't have time to read 81 pages because I was going to pick up my daughter at dance class. So I literally uploaded it to Venice and it was that fast. It was able to summarize. I said, please just give me the summary here and then I'll dive into it later. But I just, what's the summary? I don't have time to read this 81 pages right now. And it did. Full PDF, boom, was able to summarize it and give me the full context. Anyway, check them out. Go to venice.ai/redacted and use that code redacted right now to get 20% off any pro plan if you use our link. We use it here at Redacted, and we really like it. And it's really interesting to see the fact that we're able to generate images for our newsletter, and it works really well.
Indeed.
All right. All right, we have a daily newsletter. If you go to redacted.inc, you can sign up for our free newsletter. It's delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. And you want to tell them about it?
Yes, I do. This is a companion piece to the Redacted show. So we make sure that you have links to original source material. You know, we don't want you to always agree with us. We just want you to have the information at your fingertips so you can read up for yourself and see where we got this malarkey. All the news that's the news of the day is total malarkey. I wonder if you feel wound up by the news of the day. We try and make it so that at least there's some sense of humor to it, even when it's upsetting and crazy and upside down world. So anyway, at least we have each other. Nothing there is behind a paywall. We don't upsell you on anything. It's totally free. And when there's a link that I want you to see that may be behind a paywall, I try and find you an archived version of it. So anyhow, yeah, subscribe to the Redacted newsletter. We work really hard on it, and I hope that you read it in the morning with a smile. So you know what else just made me smile? I got a text just now from my daughter Ava saying that her salami sandwich was really delicious.
At lunch that you made?
Yeah. So that made me happy. I'm just bragging about that for no apparent reason, just that the text came in and I was like, oh.
That's nice.
That makes me feel good.
That feels good.
If you got a nice text from your child today, let me know. Let's share that information.
Share it in the...
Apropos of nothing.
Share it in the comments. So we would appreciate it. I just sent my son a text. Here's the gift that I just sent my son. Which is of a man mowing the lawn, and I told him, go outside right now and mow the lawn.
I think, can you hear that in our microphones?
That's somebody else.
Him?
That's not
oh,
him.
Okay. All right. No. So anyway, my secret is use a fresh baguette and butter, not mayonnaise. Butter, yes. Salami, and cheese. It's my jam. So try it and report back. You've been given an assignment.
All right. Hey, tonight I'm making brisket. I'm going to make some brisket on the grill.
Pretty stoked about that.
So I have some brisket. We just need to figure out the
Happy
time.
Happy about that?
Yeah, I am. So I don't think we got any super chats to speak of. So thank you guys so much for joining us today. Anybody in the chat? Oh, no. Penguin Shoes says my daughter needs a root canal. Oh, no.
Look into this book that I just started reading, and it will blow your mind. I'm hoping to have the author on the show.
What's the name of the book?
Kiss Your Dentist Goodbye. This is really... Hang on, let me find the author. Kiss Your Dentist Goodbye.
Connie Reloaded says Alex Jones is coming back to YouTube. Is that true?
Oh, well, he should. Yeah,
well, yeah, he was one of the big ones back. That was banned. What's that?
Yep. So there's a lot of people coming back.
Yeah.
Good.
We welcome them. You know, for the most part, we welcome all comers. Ellie Phillips. This is a lot of really reliable research. And, you know, the whole idea of you go into the dentist, you think you're doing everything right. And they're like, sorry, got another cavity. We got to, like, you're always fighting a losing battle. There's a reason for that. Read this book. Kiss Root Canals Goodbye.
No, I'm not grilling the brisket. I'm putting it on the grill. I'm cooking it that way, though. Actually, I might just use the oven. It was pouring down rain, and I was like, I might use the oven. And I'm like, I want to be outside in the sun, so I can actually use it like an oven. I'm not going to be putting it on the grill. But good catch. That's someone who knows their brisket, by the way.
Someone says, Natalie, you look prettier with less makeup. Let me tell you something. Since Jeffree Star has had a renaissance, especially in more independent thinkers, I've been watching more Jeffree Star, and I don't think that that's to my benefit, because I don't know if you saw that he, you know, talked about independent thinking in the wake of the Charlie Kirk death, and I love him, and I've always watched his stuff, and I cannot execute it the way that he can. So thank you for telling me that. I will not get carried away and try and make myself look like Jeffree Star.
Smoking the brisket.
Well taken.
Yeah. Smoking the brisket. Rock Dental is older than Fred Flintstone's. Thank you for all of your kind comments. Crazy D says, how about the Redacted Cooking Channel?
Oh, man. We don't need that, the butter, salami, and cheese thing. You're going to like it.
I've got chicken and birria sauce that I put in the crock pot into my slow cooker this morning. Ooh. So I got some pickled onions and radishes ready to go, some cabbage. I'm making some fancy tacos tonight.
KMR says Natalie must have been a mega Karen back in the day. What do you think? Would you call yourself a Karen back in the day?
You know how I feel. I think that's an ageist term.
I don't care about that. I love the term Karen. But anyway, do you think, and I'll never stop using it, do you think you were... Because when the Phillies Karen struck at the Phillies game...
I was not like that.
You were not like that?
No, you were not. She was not like that. From a child.
She was not like that. Jack Bauer. Ooh, Jack Bauer. Is this Jack Bauer from 24?
Possibly.
And says, Redacted and his guests have been lying to you. Russia is in trouble, as indicated by Trump yesterday. Are they? He called them a paper tiger, and they are not a paper tiger. But
they've had positive GDP growth, but okay. Thanks for that, President Trump. Glad you're in the chat.
Matthew Rivera says, have you ever been threatened to stop reporting the truth to Americans? Please never quit. We won't talk about that, but thank you for asking.
Then why'd you read it?
Because I didn't know it was going there. And I read it wrong when I first glanced at it. But anyway. Heidi Jones says, okay, turning this off. I did not think I would ever quit listening to Redacted, but still not questioning whether Charlie Kirk was killed. It needs to be discussed.
We have been on this story.
I don't know. What are you talking about?
We are questioning we've literally everything.
We've literally done like 7 episodes in a row about this, Heidi.
We had an interview with Roger Stone, who believes nothing of the FBI narrative, and that was on the channel overnight. So please seek that out.
I mean, we've literally discussed the ballistics trajectory. I've talked about multiple shooters here. I actually, in the early days, almost in the, within the first day of the shooting, we were highlighting the potential of a second shooter on the roof that was captured. And it's now, I think Candace did a thing about it last night. But we showed it like almost immediately.
You know
that
what
was
she
being
said?
Reported.
She said today in her show that was live, I think live yesterday and in my feed today, that she thinks that someone within Turning Point's betrayed him. And that was something that I put in the newsletter on Monday, that the killer cries at the funeral, that somebody knows something who was there at that funeral. And I'm going to take that to my grave unless we find some answers. So,
yeah,
we're not going to let that one go. We just didn't have it in the show today.
And we're also chastising the FBI. I mean, the FBI. So we now have overwhelming evidence that there was at least a second shooter, possibly a third shooter, which we covered here about a week ago on the show, the second shooter and the person that was running on the rooftop. We also, of course, called out the timeline of Tyler Robinson, how it'd be virtually impossible given the timestamps for him to have pulled off that shot at 12:23 p.m. and then be into a full sprint before people were even ducking and reacting to the shot, Tyler Robinson, and then whether or not he even had a gun on the roof at all. So I believe absolutely there was at least a second shooter, or he was a patsy and the shooter, we don't even know who the shooter was. Was Tyler Robinson involved with it at all? Like Lee Harvey Oswald was probably not involved with it at all. I think he clearly was a patsy, and I think all signs are pointing in that direction. So that's our stance here at Redacted, and I want more answers about this, and hopefully we will get them, and hopefully the FBI will be more transparent about who the hell the second shooter was, potentially wearing tactical gear and witnessed by people. He wasn't wearing jeans. He was wearing full tactical gear and a frickin' face mask in the video that we showed more than a week ago.
Yeah.
Who is that guy, and how come we don't know about it? And it's on a totally different roof line.
All right, so we...
Don't get me worked up.
We have been on this.
Heidi,
we will continue to be on this. Don't say we're not on this. You know nothing, Jon Snow.
But we're not just going to, anyway, as evidence is being uncovered here, we will release it to you as always.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks for shooting the breeze with us after the show. That was fun.
And thank you, Heidi, for getting my blood pressure up. ChatGPT says Charlie Kirk is alive.
Yeah, you should stick around. We're on this. We stick around, please.
Yeah. What was that joke? Oh, someone about blurry Sasquatch footage. What is the Mitch Hedberg joke? Philip, the Mitch Hedberg just says that I believe that Bigfoot is just blurry.
Oh yeah, that's a. I think that was Stephen Wright, wasn't it? That said that.
Oh, Stephen Wright. It sounds like a Mitch Hedberg.
I believe
joke,
so.
But. Yeah,
yeah. That's a clear photo. That's just that Bigfoot is just blurry.
Yeah, love you guys. Thank you guys so much for watching us. I appreciate you guys subscribing to us in the chat room here. Really appreciate it. And we always welcome your feedback, and we always love talking with you. Heidi, love you. Thanks to everyone for watching today. We'll see you guys tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Have a great night, everyone.